This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Raiders podcast. We're back. I'm your host, JT. Thanks so much for being here as we kick off the 2017 season and a brand new year of podcast. Thanks to everyone at Silver and Black Productions. It's good to be back, and we're going to get right to it. If you've been listening to the podcast in the past, or if this is your first time listening to it, the Raiders take football seriously. We take the podcast seriously. Our goal every week is to give you a preview of the upcoming opponent each week, take a look back at the game from the week before, give you the biggest names, the biggest guests, the biggest celebrities, the players and the coaches, and the analysis you need as a Raider fan getting ready for the upcoming game. This one's a little bit different because we're coming off the preseason. The Raiders did not win in the preseason as they get ready to open up on the road against the Tennessee Titans coming up this Sunday. And this is a really big game. It's another early start, 10 a.m. Pacific, at Nissan Stadium against a very good team in the Titans that I believe have high expectations, very similar to the Silver and Black. The Raiders are coming off a 12-win season. You know the story of the Derek Carr injury and what the Raiders did in the offseason, drafting on the defensive side first to try to secure a team and build a team that can make a run not only to this year's Super Bowl, but multiple Super Bowls in the years to come. Led by Jack Del Rio and his coaching staff, the Raiders look to get out of the gate quickly against one of those teams on the schedule where I think they're evenly matched up against. The Raiders recently have had success against the Titans in their last couple of games, but just like the Raiders, the Titans have improved in the offseason, and their offense is as explosive as the Raiders, and they have some really good players on defense. Here's what we got lined up for the first podcast. Lincoln Kennedy is going to join us. Also, the great Matt Millen. Paul Kuharski, who covers the Titans as good as anybody, and we're going to welcome a new contributor, Eddie Pascal, who's a senior writer for the Silver and Black, back at the facility in Alameda. He's going to join us every week. Eddie's going to bring a perspective from inside the building that we're going to add to the podcast. I'm really happy to welcome him to our team here. So let's get going. What's in store for the Raiders this year? I've talked to countless insiders, players. I was on the sideline for the preseason, and the Raiders' goal this year is to build on what they did last year. With a 12-4 schedule, that the injury to Carr, expectations this year are bounce back and be better than the year before. The only issue is the schedule's more difficult, the competition is tough, and the Raiders are really going to have to come together to win 12 games again. But we're going to take it one game at a time and focus on the Tennessee Titans. I wanted to bring in several analysts who know this team coming off the preseason. Because watching this team closely in the preseason, the Raiders didn't show us a lot, especially on the defensive side. They tried to figure out the linebacker position. They're trying to upgrade at defensive tackle. They're bringing in younger players on defense, two of them in Connolly and Obi, who aren't ready really to go yet. Hopefully we'll see Connolly sooner than later. Obi on the PUP list, we'll see him down the road. But the Raiders clearly have a focus through Reggie McKenzie to upgrade that defense to match eventually someday one of the best offenses in all of football. So the Raiders were vanilla in the preseason. Jack Del Rio didn't show us a ton on defense. We didn't see the blitz packages. We didn't see the explosive play. When we saw Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin, they looked good. I thought Carl Joseph played at a high level, but preseason's about getting the twos and threes on the field and making an adjustment from 90 players down to 53. The good news is the Raiders are pretty healthy coming into this game, and I think that was the goal of the preseason, to come in healthy, figure out who you're going to go with, and I have confidence in Jack Del Rio and his staff. This game's about the quarterbacks. Marcus Mariota, last year, 3,426 yards. 26 touchdowns. Derek Carr, almost 4,000 yards. 3,937. He had 28 touchdowns. Carr was on the road to being an MVP winner, not just a contender, until he broke his ankle against Indianapolis. What could have been for the Raiders if Carr remained healthy? But Carr's come back healthy, stronger, and more focused than I've ever seen him. It's like he hasn't missed a day, and he's ready to go. Amari Cooper looks like he put on 10 pounds of muscle. Crabtree, the addition of Cook at tight end, I mean, this is one of the best offenses in football, and they're looking to pick up on where they were last year. This offense can take it to the next level, and I'm excited to see what this Raider offense can do, because I think they're going to need to score a lot of points this year. Until this defense comes together, until this defense is clicking, I think the Raiders are going to have to win a lot of games in shootouts. And Raider Nation, you remember last year, they won those games. They won on a two-point conversion. They won in overtime. They came from behind. They did everything that a 12-win team needs to do. And now they're going to have to play better, even though that schedule, in my opinion, is more difficult. So, again, we'll get you ready for the Titans game with all these great analysts who are about to join us. And, again, for Raider fans, as we get ready for the season, the Jets, the home opener next week, we'll recap the Titans game. We'll preview the Jets and then march into Washington for the first of five primetime games. That will be a Sunday night football contest. Our first guest of the year on the Official Raider Podcast is a good friend and who I believe is becoming one of the great analysts in all of football. Lincoln Kennedy, former three-time Pro Bowler, is not only the sideline reporter for the Raiders, but he has an open mic during the broadcast. With Tom Flores as the color analyst, Greg Papa on the play-by-play call, Lincoln is able to stalk the sideline and watch every play and contribute whenever he wants. I think he's outstanding. There's no one better to watch the Raiders in the preseason and report on them now in the regular season. We welcome Lincoln Kennedy to the podcast. Lincoln, I can't thank you enough for doing this. Thanks for coming on.
Well, I really appreciate that, JT. After that introduction, I can come on your show every week or anytime you ask me, brother.
What I really like what you do, and I think our audience needs to know this, is the ability for you to see the game from the sideline, to have an open microphone. I think when the Raiders came up with this idea and your radio partners came up with it, because you're working with a legend in Tom Flores and the voice of the Silver and Black, Greg Papa, talk about how that evolved, where most sideline reporters' microphones are turned off until the play-by-play guy goes to them. Yours is open throughout the broadcast, and you have the freedom to jump in and out.
Well, yeah, it's the equivalent of having two color guys, which most broadcasts, especially radio broadcasts, don't have. But more importantly, my side of it is I like to be down on the sidelines with you and the team. The excitement, the energy down there on the sidelines is different than you can transfer in the booth. So I watch the game from a little different angle. As you mentioned, Greg Papa does such a great job doing the play-by-play. And, of course, Coach Flores adds his little bit of color after he comes on. But in that little bit of time between that and the next play, I try to throw another interjection in there that maybe the audience, just to try to help paint the picture, if you know what I mean, the audience didn't get from the first two guys.
You're a real positive guy, and you played in some monster games in your career, especially with the Raiders. And I was very optimistic coming into the season. The Raiders didn't win in the preseason. You were there for every play. Where do you stand, big picture, broad question, as we begin coming into the season with a 12-win team that's going to play a much more difficult schedule?
The offense has got to score at least 4 or 5 touchdowns a game. That's the only way that you can paint the picture of what we saw in the preseason. And sometimes it's a little bit of a disturbing notion when you think about it. It's like, man, the offense has to score that much? Yeah, because there's so many question marks at defense. I thought the Raiders initially did a good job in the draft to address the defensive needs, but it just hasn't come to fruition so far in preseason. And we only have, we can only evaluate what we see in front of us. So there are some holes, especially on the defense. They had problems stopping people. They were going into a schedule, and right out the gate, the Tennessee Titans, a power running football team, and like to get on the perimeter and have, two big backs that can do it. And of course, Mariota's gotten a number of weapons that have been added to him from the draft and free agent. This is going to be a potent offense. So our offense, the Raiders' offense, is going to have to score a whole lot of points.
Lincoln Kennedy's our guest. Are you surprised? Because you know how well Reggie McKenzie works via the draft and free agency, keeping players, re-signing players. He got the car deal done. Eventually, he's going to have to get Mack and Cooper done there, that the Raiders weren't able to upgrade at the linebacker position and really make that defense stronger, especially stout up the middle.
I know why they did it. I mean, there were some questions. The star linebacker coming out of this year's draft was Reuben Foster, who ended up going to 49ers. There were some questions about his shoulder injury. And so, of course, Gary and Conley fell to the position in which he was regarded as top 10 talent, fell to that position where I saw that it just made sense for them to take him in lieu of everything that was going on off the field. But I'm a little surprised. But it also goes to show you how you can build a solid foundation, but it's hard to build a team. Because you and I know, JT, that it's not always – there's not a guy who's waiting for you, or a good person, a good candidate at that position that you can take and build a team off of. So you have to judge it. You have to juggle these type of circumstances. Reggie, to this point, has done a great job. And, of course, the foundation is set, as you mentioned, with Cooper and Carr and Mac. The future looks bright for the Raiders, but right now they just have to fine-tune and get through the upcoming seasons.
Lincoln, I think this is a critical game, and I'm not one of those guys. You played for John Gruden, and John Gruden taught me, when you look at a schedule, break it down in games of four, look at the first quarter of the season, don't worry about anything else. And then the Titan game's there on the road, where the Raiders have had success recently there. But the Titans have upgraded. They got a great tight end. They can run the football. And I just think the Raiders were so vanilla in the preseason with, you know, resting Mac, rightfully Bruce Irvin, that hopefully the fresh legs of the Raiders on defense will be able to pursue, cover a tight end, and especially stop the run. Do you think the Titans, when they break down film of the silver and black, are going to want to throw on the Raiders, or do you think they're going to want to play smash mouth and run it right at them?
If I was them, I would run it right at them. I would run it, use the power game to try to take up as much time as you can, put the pressure on the offense, especially if the Raiders' defense is not able to stop them. Imagine this, a power running game that's just chiseling down the field, taking up big chunks of yards, and eventually gets seven. Who does the pressure fall on? It falls on the opposing offense. It falls on Derek Carr. Now, you can't really sit back there and hand off the ball to Marshawn Lynch or DeAndre Washington or Jalen Richard. You have to throw down the field. So now the advantage goes to the defense because they know what you have to do in order to get back into it. So that's why I say run it, use up all the clock, put the pressure on the offense.
Lincoln Kennedy works at Fox Sports Radio, Pac-12 Network, obviously the sideline reporter for the Silver and Black. Delanie Walker, a tight end who's athletic. We've seen this, Lincoln. You see it from the sidelines. It's the Raiders, linebackers, or a safety coming up in the box. How do you chip this guy and slow him down at the line of scrimmage? Because he's really good in space. He's a good blocker, and he's a bull down around the goal line.
It's been one of the nemesis that have plagued the Raiders' defense for years, as you already know. And the reason why they drafted Obi Matafanu, but he's on IR for the first part of the year. So these are those things where you hopefully come up with a plan. I don't have an answer because, unfortunately, Carl Joseph isn't tall enough to really do it. And so either whether they use Sean Smith or some combination, this is something that has plagued the Raiders for quite some time, especially under this Ken Norton Jr. defense.
Let's look at the Raider offense with Carr. I thought it was brilliant. We saw that touchdown to Amari Cooper in Dallas, which was a thing of beauty. You saw enough of Carr, Lincoln, up close, not only in the offseason OTAs and training camp, but in the preseason. What are your expectations for Derek Carr?
Well, I felt that if the Raiders would have went further than that first playoff game last year against Houston, that Derek Carr might have been ready to line up. That's just how anxious he was to get back into things. Look, I think the world of this young man, and he is definitely a franchise quarterback. The Raiders got a steal, had a second round. They paid him franchise quarterback money, and now it's time for him to shine. I expect that Derek Carr is going to have a tremendous year. He was on pace to be MVP last year, or at least compete for MVP, and I don't think it's going to be any different this year when he goes out there.
I know you were happy to see Donald Penn come back. He missed some time. That's one of the best offensive lines, if not the best offensive line in the entire AFC. You played on a great offensive line, leading the Raiders to a Super Bowl. Talk about the strength of the Raiders up front and this offensive line and how they're going to have to dominate and play great in games like this if they're going to get tough wins on the road.
Well, especially when you're going against a defense that's made some improvements in the Tennessee Titans, you got to protect on loud environments, and the schedule that the Raiders have before them is not an easy one. I would tell you this: it's one of the strengths of a football team. You got to look at the guys up front, and McKenzie and his staff did a great job of building that offensive line, committing a whole lot of money towards it, and that's why it's going to pay off in the end for them. Now, whether they're back there passing the ball or whether they're deciding to run it down people's throats, I'm going to see this offensive line mature. And with the addition of Marshall Newhouse, who played well in the absence of Donald Penn at both left and right tackle, it shows me that they're pretty stout and pretty deep on that line right now.
We're wrapping it up with Lincoln Kennedy. Lincoln, with Cook at tight end, bringing in a tight end that can make big plays and has the ability to be explosive, not only in the red zone, but really open up the middle of the field. Is that the real difference this year? Because we've talked about this on the air and privately, how the Raiders, since Todd Christensen, and if you look at all the great tight ends from Raymond Chester, Dave Casper, the principles of throwing and opening up the middle of the field to the tight end, I finally feel like the Raiders have the quarterback and several tight ends who can get open and do it.
Well, I agree with you, my friend. And we mentioned earlier how on defense the tight end position has been plaguing the Raiders. Finally, they've got an asset at it. Lee Smith is a good blocking tight end who's got good hands, and he's been able to do some things. We saw him do a couple things in preseason. But I think the addition of Jared Cook and, of course, Clyde Wolford sort of coming into his own gives the Raiders an opportunity not only to help their run game with their 12 and 13 personnel, but they can also push the pass game down the middle of the part of the field and take advantage of other teams that might have undersized linebackers or safeties that have trouble covering big tight ends.
Lincoln, you've been in this position before. You're looking at a 12-win team that has a tougher schedule and lofty expectations. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about relocation in years to come, but you know those Oakland fans. You barbecue with them. You're out in the parking lot. You're accessible before the game. A lot of expectations around this team coming into this season. How does Jack Del Rio and his staff handle this type of pressure?
Well, they want to take it this way, like you mentioned, John Gruden. I think that's sort of a model that every coach has. You take it four games at a time with never overlooking the first one. The schedule, especially with them starting the first three games on the road in the month of September, three out of the four games are on the road in September, means that they're going to have their work cut out for them. They can't take anything for granted. What I think with this team is that the schedule, JT, the ability of what this team did last year, my only question mark as I sit right now is what are they going to do about the Kansas City Chiefs? Because Derek Carr has not had good games against the Kansas City Chiefs. Until they're able to get over that hump, that to me is the biggest thorn in the Raiders' side.
And lastly, I think it's fair to say that this Titans team coming up in week one is a playoff team. A lot of individuals, because of the injury to Andrew Luck and how that division has opened up, this team has an opportunity. If they get out of the gate quick and they beat the Raiders at home, the momentum that can build them, a lot of insiders have them pegged at a 9-10 win team. This would be a great win for either team that comes out of this game with a W.
And the bigger presence is because it's an AFC opponent, you want to take care of tiebreakers too. So the last thing you want to do is have the same record as this team at the end of the year, and then if you're in the playoffs, have to go play them at their place.
On a personal note, you travel with the team. You get a chance to see these fans on the road. You'll see them in Nashville. What's that like for you before the game when you look up into the crowd and you see so many fans wearing the silver and black?
You know, I've been all around the country, all around the world when you consider London with this team. And I tell you what, there's no fan like a Raider fan. And that's why I've always been very fond of the nation, the way they turn out, they come in groves. No place is too foreign to them. No distance is too great for them. And they support this team. They love this team through and through. And I've seen the same amount of turnout with this team, only had 5-6 wins versus when they had 12 wins. So it's not just winning, but winning is contagious. And one of the great things about this Raider fan base is now they get something to cheer for and to look forward to, because I think you'll agree with me here, JT. When the Raiders are good in the NFL, it's good for the NFL. So I'm looking forward to a positive year and seeing all these guys have some fun.
Yeah, they're already good. Now they got to get great, and they got to start knocking down some Super Bowls. Lincoln, I greatly appreciate it. Thank you for the time.
My pleasure, brother. Be well.
Thanks again to the great Lincoln Kennedy. When I was thinking about a Titans guest, I wanted to get the best. Paul Kuharsky, who is the Titans insider, is the best at what he does, covering this team 24/7. Find him on his website at paulkuharsky.com. Also a radio host at Midday 180, and a guy who lives and breathes with this franchise and knows him as good as anybody. We welcome Paul to the official Raiders podcast.
Well, quite the intro. I'm good after that. Thanks.
Well, you deserve it. I love your work, and I appreciate you coming on here. And this is a monster game from my perspective, because both of these teams are considered teams that can go to the playoffs and maybe go far. As you know, the Raiders are coming off a 12-win season. They open up on the road in Nashville against a team that they've beaten recently, and I think both teams got better in regards to the offseason. Let's do a broad preview of the game and the strengths of the Titans, especially on offense, coming into this one.
Well, their strength should be the same as it was last year. They should be able to move people and run the ball, though they hadn't done it particularly well in the preseason. DeMarco Murray had a little bit of a hamstring deal during camp, still very much the lead guy with Derrick Henry behind him. Taylor Lewan, very good left tackle who will see a lot of Khalil Mack, I think. Jack Conklin, very good at right tackle. And they've played solidly up the middle last year as well. So I would expect them to try to run it first and foremost, and then to build off of that with Marcus Mariota. He's not been super great with his mechanics in the preseason. Hopefully for them, he's got that stuff cleaned up. He's got better weapons, even though Corey Davis has missed all of the preseason, really, and he'll only be a situational guy in this game. But Rishard Matthews finished last year strong. Eric Decker will be in the mix, and the rookie Taywan Taylor gives them yards after the catch that they didn't have last year.
Well, it's interesting that Mariota and especially Carr came off those serious injuries. Carr bounced back. He looks like he's in great shape to have another run at an MVP season. But when it comes to Marcus and his ability to make plays outside the pocket, we know how great of a runner he is from his years at Oregon. Is he developing into a better pocket passer, in your opinion?
Yeah, he's been a good pocket passer since the beginning. Now, he's better in the middle of the field than he is to the sidelines, generally speaking. Part of that's been timing and the quality of his weapons, which is now better. But when those mechanics I was talking about go south, the first thing that he seems to have trouble with are throws to his right. But I would expect they build off of central stuff with Delanie Walker first and foremost, maybe with Taylor operating out of the slot. And, you know, the linebackers for the Raiders are not their best feature. Delanie Walker, very productive tight end. Jonnu Smith, a good-looking rookie tight end. You know, maybe they try to get into some seams in the middle of the field with those two guys. Kind of a strength against what looks like it might be a little bit of a weakness.
And Paul Kaharsky is our guest. You nailed it with Delanie Walker and what he can do over the middle of the field. And clearly the Raiders did not upgrade at the middle linebacker position. Outside Mack and Irvin, who are pass rushers, I would think that the Titans are going to want to try to get the Raider linebackers and safeties in space here and try to attack down the middle of the field. As you mentioned, the two tight ends that can catch the ball, plus Decker coming in, who is a smart player, knows how to find pockets, is familiar with the silver and black, and is the type of guy that the Raiders are going to have to concentrate on in the red zone.
Yeah, and I just wrote on my site, you know, Decker missed a great, he played in the Jets game, which was their first preseason game. Then he twisted an ankle during a joint practice with the Panthers, and he'd been out really until late last week or even Monday was the first full day back. So he and Mariota haven't had that much time together, but Decker is a right place, right time kind of player, which is what Mike Mularkey and Terry Rubisky are really emphasizing with the Titans. They've moved miles away from the Justin Hunter, Dorial Green, Beckham, super athlete, not the smartest guy who's going to be super reliable. Decker is kind of the opposite of that guy, and Mariota and Decker both talked today about their ability to trust each other, even with not having worked that much. I certainly think if you've got a veteran guy that's going to miss several weeks, Decker, a new veteran guy, Decker's the right kind of guy because he and Mariota, you know, are on the same page and kind of have talked things through, even if they haven't had a chance to work things through.
Titans insider Paul Kaharsky joins us. Brian Arakpo, what should we expect from him? You know, the Raiders have a really good offensive line, one of the more physical offensive lines out there. They have the potential for four Pro Bowlers to play if they play up to their potential. I got to think that the Titans are going to have to show some blitz packages to try to get to Carr because, Paul, this Raider offense was clicking in the preseason. We didn't see much of them, but when Carr was out on the field with Amari Cooper, they had tremendous chemistry.
Yeah, and the Titans really need a rush, at least some rush from just five, because the secondary remains the big question mark, even though they've turned over three quarters of it. So Jonathan Cyprian, a run to, you know, a box safety, new Logan Ryan from the Patriots, their new number one corner. And we don't know who the other corner is. LaShawn Sims has been there for most of the preseason. He's out today with the groin injury suffered on Monday. Adoree Jackson, the 18th pick in the draft, hasn't quite broken into that group yet. Bryce McCain, the nickel. But you mentioned Arakpo. Arakpo, Morgan as the outside backers. Jarrell Casey as the interior force. They need to do some disrupting, and they'll have help from Dick LeBeau's scheme for sure. But they need to make Carr uncomfortable, and they need to make sure that he can't sit back there and look for Crabtree and Cooper because those corners have better ball sense, and they can close better than last year's group. But, you know, I'm thinking at best it's a group that goes from one of the worst in the league to middle of the pack. And it's going to be something certainly that the Raiders try to exploit.
What are they saying in Nashville about beast mode? Marshawn Lynch in Oakland, you know that story coming home, and the Raiders are really excited about what he can do in Oakland. The Jets are next week, but I think the Raiders with their three-headed running back attack are going to have a heavy dose. We didn't see much of Lynch, but you know what a great career he's had. This is a running back game, right, Paul? These running backs could all explode for some big double-digit gains here. That could be the difference.
Well, I think so. But as soon as you and I say it's a running back game, that means that they'll
throw
for 40 yards and Crabtree and Rashard Matthews will be the stars. I mean, I think both quarterbacks benefit from obviously being able to turn around and hand it off, and then some play action develops, and then they can make some throws to some high quality weapons. Particularly, the Oakland side has proven perimeter guys. I love both these quarterbacks. I hope this turns into one of those quarterback, you know, who knows? Maybe it's a Manning Brady type of thing down the road. I know that's a lot to wish for. And they're both such nice guys. Not that Brady and Manning aren't, but I don't know that they'll be zinging each other with any kind of one-liners at any point. Carr, in his games here the last couple of years, just been eye-opening. And I hope they both give us something to behold. You know, Titans are trying to, they're not preparing people for a loss by any means, but they don't want it to be like if everything doesn't go right on Sunday, all is lost because they don't measure up to another very good AFC team. But, you know, these are the two kind of teams that if they stay healthy could certainly see each other again. The Raiders have been, you know, a year ahead of the Titans. But, I feel like the Titans are still on the upswing. I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders come back just a bit. So they might be right in range of each other.
A huge game. This is a huge game because I think this is the difference between both teams being a 9-win team or a 10-win team or expectations 11 wins. Whoever wins this game in the conference to have the lead over the other, if the Raiders can do it on the road, it's a monster win before the Jets. And if the Titans beat a team like the Raiders, they're off to the races and everybody's talking about huge expectations. Again, Paul, I really appreciate you doing this. Thanks for coming on. I really respect your work.
Hey, that's really nice of you. I appreciate it. Call anytime.
So I'm happy we could catch up with Paul. Give him a follow if you can on Twitter, Paul Kuharsky, NFL. That's Kuharsky. He's a fantastic follow, and especially with the Titans, a team that's expected to go far this year. Now a new addition to the official Raider podcast. We're going to talk to Eddie Pascal, who's on the inside of the Silver and Black at Silver and Black Productions over in Alameda. He travels with the team. He's with the team year-round, and he's a great up-and-coming writer. He's a senior writer at Raiders.com. Eddie, first off, thanks for doing this. Thanks for joining our team. And you have a different angle in this first week's edition with two players who have stepped up and played at a high level at Nashville in the past.
Thanks, JT. I'm really fired up to be on the official Raiders podcast in 2017, and I think this podcast in particular is going to be a great thing for Raiders fans to get a little different view of the team and how things work inside 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway. So the Silver and Black opened the 2017 regular season this Sunday in Nashville, and while the friendly confines of Nissan Stadium have understandably been a sanctuary for Marcus Mariota and the rest of the Titans, there's a pair of Raiders who have actually made themselves pretty comfortable there the past two seasons. Cornerback David Amerson and wide receiver Seth Roberts have taken their games to a different level each time they've walked into the locker room at Nissan Stadium since 2015. And coincidentally, both games have ended with happy flights back to the Bay Area for the Silver and Black. So check this out. In his past two games in Tennessee, Amerson has totaled four tackles, an interception, and an unreal 11 passes defensed. Think about it this way. If DA had finished the season with 11 passes defensed all of last year, he would have ranked third on the Raiders' defense in that category. Plain and simple, Amerson has been a ball hawk when he straps on the pads in Music City. And with talented playmakers out wide like Rashard Matthews, Corey Davis, and Eric Decker, the Raiders as a whole would benefit if he could channel his inner playmaker once again. And offensively, Seth Roberts has been a thorn in the side of the Titans' defense in his own right since 2015. Like Amerson, he's played in two games at Nissan Stadium, and he hasn't really done a whole lot, just hauling eight catches for 140 yards and three touchdowns, including the game winner in 2015. In talking with Roberts earlier this week, he said he really doesn't remember exact plays from his big games. Instead, he remembers the small moments leading up to them. For instance, before the 2015 game against the Titans, he spent the night before the game hanging out with his family as he had a big group of folks in from Florida and Georgia. Come Sunday, he'll once again have a group of family in the stands at Nissan Stadium, so here's to hoping that he gets a good meal and some quality time in with his people before kickoff. Michael Jordan used to say that he loved playing at Madison Square Garden, and I asked Amerson if there are actually certain stadiums or arenas that hold a little extra weight for athletes. Dia told me that his favorite place to play is actually at home at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Nissan Stadium is certainly in the upper echelon of places he likes to play too. Head coach Jack Del Rio no doubt wants to get his team off to a hot start in 2017, and a win in Nashville would certainly be just that. So what is it about Music City that makes Amerson and Roberts take their game to another level? Hey, maybe they're just big fans of country music. Kickoff against the Titans is scheduled for 10 a.m. Pacific time. This is Eddie Pascal, senior writer, Raiders.com. Back to you, Brick.
Appreciate Eddie joining us. He's going to add a lot to the podcast every week because he's going to see things behind the scenes at practice and being able to talk to coaches and players. That's going to add a lot to this podcast every week. Let's wrap it up with someone who I really care about, and I'm happy to call a friend. Matt Millen is a four-time Super Bowl champion. You know him as the analyst for the Raiders on television in the preseason, but the Raider Nation knows him as one of the greatest linebackers to ever play for this franchise. And I wanted to have him on because of Lincoln and Matt and all the great work that they do in the preseason, knowing this roster and this team inside and out. Matt, thanks for joining us on the Official Raiders Podcast.
How are you, JT? What's going on?
Everything's good. It was a pleasure working with you again throughout the preseason, and you were very opinionated, optimistic, but also critical at times from what you saw with this team. What are your expectations coming out of the preseason, Matt?
I think it's going to be a team that's going to score a lot of points. I think it's a team that's going to give up points, especially early, until they figure out exactly what they are. And, you know, I think you're looking at probably, I'd say, an 11-win season, probably that. But the defense has to get it just needs more. They're just not quite there yet. Jack knows it. A part of it's personnel, part of it's youth, and part of it is just, you know, kind of picking up this scheme. I think you can see a lot of what they want to do, especially in coverages with leverage and that kind of thing. But they got to get used to it, and they got to play it tighter. They got to get the young guys in there. Connelly's got to play. I mean, if he does anything like he did at Ohio State, that really solidifies a big hole. And then they just got to get some young guys to play well. But I think the offense could be record-setting.
Matt, we didn't see a lot of the scheme on defense in the preseason. Would you say that's because Jack Del Rio and his staff wanted to be a little bit vanilla there, not show too much? Because Mac changes everything. As the defensive player of the year, he's got to be double-teamed. He's ferocious coming off the edge. He can do it all. If he's getting pulled early in these preseason games, it has a trickle-down effect. And we didn't see a lot of blitzing and a lot of different zone coverages overall. So do you think the best is yet to come because Del Rio and his staff was holding back?
Yeah, I think in X's and O's, I think that's 100% right. But what you did want to see is fundamental football. You did want to see, do they, you know, are you protecting your gap? Are you understanding how to force things back into force? Are you understanding how to run the lane? Are you under, you know, lots of different things defensively that, quite frankly, weren't there consistently. And so it's easy on a coach's part to say, okay, well, we can fix that because we'll just heat him up a little bit, bring this guy, or we'll play this combination coverage over here, and that'll handle this combination. But if you don't have the fundamentals, if you don't have a good, strong push inside, that makes it more difficult for Mac and Irvin on the outside. And so I think what I was looking for in the preseason was to see all those good fundamentals kind of come together, and they were just inconsistent.
Matt Millen is our guest, four-time Super Bowl champ. Matt, I know you preach you got to be strong inside at the defensive tackle position. It frees up the linebackers to make plays, and quite frankly, the Raiders don't have a lot of depth, especially at middle linebacker, and guys who prove they could shed blocks. What's it going to take for this team to play more physical against the Tennessee Titan team that has a two-headed monster at running back, a mobile quarterback who can get outside the pocket, and especially a great tight end who can make plays over the middle of the field?
Yeah, to me, it's going to be that quarterback's feet. That's a tough one. Now, you'll be able to handle all your gaps. They're gap sound. The Raider defense can be gap sound. You understand how that works. But what really throws a defense off is when a quarterback, you add an extra number, and that's a guy who's unaccounted for. And he's got really good legs if he wants to take off. And so, you know, then you have to also account for him on the edges. He's going to take off and run. He's going to stretch the field. He's going to, you know, make you have to defend the whole field. So to me, that's the piece that's the tough one they're going to have to defend is Mariota's feet.
Raider legend Matt Millen's our guest. The Raiders bring in John Pagano to help out on defense. He's the assistant head coach, Ken Norton Jr., who came in with high expectations, and Jack Del Rio's in charge of this coaching staff. Rod Woodson, a Hall of Famer in the secondary. Are you confident with this coaching staff? Matt, they got enough defensive guys out there. You were a great defensive player. Combined with all that knowledge, this coaching staff should be able to figure it out, right?
JT, you want to know what the best defense is? Simple. You know what simple means? Simple means you got talent and you don't have to do a lot. So they're going to have to do more than be simple, because there are some spots they lack it. And so do they have the wherewithal to be able to help a couple guys? Yes. Every defense in the league does that. They help a guy and they'll put somebody over the top where they have to, or they'll stack a backer because he can't handle something, and they'll do all that. But you probably need at least seven or eight legitimate guys, and you can kind of help a couple guys, then you're in trouble. And so that's why I think they'll be okay for some things, but there's some other things when it just comes down to. Look, we saw it in short yardage and goal line. Low man wins. We're talking about just have good leverage. And in the preseason, they didn't fare very well. So that's a concern.
No concerns on offense, right? Carr is going to be explosive. Everyone's healthy. I thought they did a good job, getting everybody out on the field, but we didn't see much of Marshawn Lynch. Amari Cooper looked like he put on 10, 15 pounds of muscle. Jared Cook comes in at tight end, and Crabtree's healthy, and Carr looks like he's been bench pressing, and he bounced back from that injury. I guess it's all systems go.
To me, I think they're going to set records. I think that offense is going to have the ability. There were times back in that 83 defense, there were times when we would just look at each other and said, okay, now it's time to go. And we flipped the switch, whether it was Rod Martin or Howie or Ted Hendricks or whoever it was, Lyle Alzado, myself, Mike Haynes, Lester Hay, whoever it was, somebody made a play. And it was conscious. We picked it up. This offense has that type of ability, where any one of a number of, five or six guys can say, okay, it's time to go. And you just pick it up and away you go. I think they'll have that skill.
Matt, take us back to your career with the two Super Bowls you won with the Raiders. When were you the most confident coming out of preseason? It was a tougher preseason back in the day, more padded practices, a lot of competition even at your position, and you were a stalwart. When did you feel like you were an unbeatable team, or was that not the case with your rings coming out of the preseason?
Well, in 1980 was my rookie year. I didn't know if it was pumped up or stuff. So I was just following, I followed Ted Hendricks, and that was a good one to follow. But by the time 82 came around, the game had slowed down for me. It's interesting, I was talking to David Carr about that, and Derek was saying the game's a lot slower for him. Same thing happened to me. And so what happens is your mind clicks faster. You see things quicker. You can anticipate things. You start making calls without the calls being made. It's just one of those things where it just all comes together. 1982, that was a year where we should have won the Super Bowl, and we didn't. Best team in the league was us, and it didn't happen. 83, we proved it that we were the best team. 84, we had a couple of injuries. 85, we should have been playing the Bears in the Super Bowl because we blew another game against New England. And so that period of time, you got on the field, and it was just what I think this offense is going to do. They'll be able to just say, you know what, it's time to turn it on. And when that happens, they're fun to watch.
Finally, you said on the broadcast, you always said, once a Raider, always a Raider. What does this organization mean to you right now, from the passing of Al Davis still to Carroll Davis and what Mark Davis means to you?
Yeah, so, the only thing you can really say is family. And so they've been, Al and I would have different, we'd have our disagreements, and we had different ways of looking at things. And sometimes we would argue, but we always came back to the base, and the base was your Raider. And I enjoyed, and still enjoy Great fellowship with John Madden, of course, and that thing still exists. And now when I see Mark, and I haven't seen Mrs. Davis for a while, but I see Mark, and it's the same thing. I mean, it's just, you're family, and that's what you are. And so a lot of people on the outside may not get it, or maybe they think it's just lip service, but it's not. It's true, and it's appreciated.
Matt, I really appreciate you doing this. Thanks for coming on. We greatly appreciate it. I'll see you soon on the road.
You got it, JT. Take care.
The great Matt Millen. That guy gets you ready for game day. That's a guy you can feel like he could still put on a helmet and make plays, and we're happy that he could kick it off and get us going here to get you ready for the Tennessee Titans. That's it. I'll be at the home opener on the sidelines for the Jets. A lot of people are overlooking the Jets, not the Raider organization. This is probably the last time the Raiders will host the Jets in Oakland, potentially, and the Jets know it. They're going to bring their A game. This is going to be a big test for the Raiders, and hopefully they come out of the Jet game 2-0, but they got to beat the Titans first. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, I'm JT the Brick. Thanks for joining us on the official Raiders podcast. If you can retweet and go to Raiders.com, follow the Raiders on Twitter, at Raiders, or on the Raiders Facebook page. We'll talk to you next week and preview the Jets.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.